2 days left for enrolling in the MAPS Super Bundle and getting one of them for free. That's right. If you enroll in the Super Bundle, which is a year's worth of exercise programming, you'll get one Super Bundle for free. There's only 2 days left for that promotion. It will end on the 13th of this month. After that, it's done. The place to enroll is mindpumpmedia.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, we get heated. We have
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, Joe Rogan interviewed Yvette Dontremont. I hope I'm saying her name right.
Oh, wow, that's pretty good right there.
And they talked a lot of shit about chiropractors and chiropractic care, like called them quacks. Sham artists and quacks.
We had to call the boys.
So yeah. We called two of our favorite chiropractors, Dr. Jordan Shallow and Dr. Justin Brink, into the studio.
And we rallied.
And we asked them all the questions. We brought up all the points that Rogan brought up in his episode about chiropractic care and about the process and all that stuff. And they went off. This episode is not to be missed. And what I think you guys should do as listeners is tag the hell out of Joe Rogan so he can hear this episode and maybe change his position.
Expand his mind on this topic a little bit.
Yeah, because I think he hurt a lot of chiropractors' business. And let me tell you, there's some good ones out there, some very, very good ones. Also, you can watch the recording of this podcast on our YouTube channel where we're talking to both
Dub,
Dr. Shallow
Dub
and Dr.
got
Brink.
Some new toys. It's all shot in 4K over there on the Mind Pump TV YouTube channel.
That's so it. Go there and watch it and share it.
Make sure you tag Joe Rogan, too. This is a special podcast today, and this is in response to the Joe Rogan, the latest Joe Rogan episode 984.
984, he interviews Yvette Dontremont.
Is that how you say it? Yeah, that's good enough. Yeah.
Now, he had said something about, he had an episode prior that led to that particular.
Well, 979.
Okay.
He read her article, correct?
He read
her article, and that's
what prompted in the earlier episode. It was totally unrelated. He was speaking with some. I think the guy was like,
London.
He was a British guy, and they were going on about like feminism and postmodernism and stuff like that. And then Rogan just made a real hard switch in the middle. The guy made reference to a doctor. And then Rogan was like, a real doctor or a chiropractor? And they just went totally down this whole road.
Oh, wow.
Rogan was like, they kill people, this, that, and the other. And then he'd made mention to this Yvette Dontremont, who was going to – see, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
He had mentioned that he was going to have on the podcast, and she wrote this article, chiropractic is bullshit.
So basically they go off on this episode with this – her name is Sci Babe, S-C-I Babe on – social media, and she apparently did that to counter the whole food babe.
Yeah, it's like wordplay on the food babe girl.
But
right?
They really went off on chiropractors, and I listened to the episode, and it was a lot of chiropractors aren't doctors. Chiropractors are bullshit. They don't help anything. Don't waste your time or money going to them. And as I'm listening to this, I'm like, wow, this is going to generate a lot of
In defense of Joe, for a very long time, I kind of felt this way for a very long time, and that was just because for 15 years of our career of running gyms, I had worked with a lot of different chiropractors, and I remember thinking, because I know that they referred to them as doctors, and so I assumed like, okay, their level of knowledge and understanding of anatomy and biomechanics, I assumed would be much higher than mine, and I would start asking questions about my body and issues that I was having. And I could just tell by the way I was getting answers from them, like, man, this guy or girl doesn't know that much. And so, and I kept running into that one after another to where it got to a point where I kind of felt this way for a really long time, to the point that I remember when I met Dr. Brink, a couple of years ago. And I think the very first words out of my mouth to him was,
I hate you.
I said, I don't like chiropractors. Yeah. And I said, you know, this is why I don't like them, because I feel like a lot of them are like this. And I went on to explain, and he right away said, I agree with you. And then from that moment on, I was open ears. I wanted to hear his thoughts on it. And then we started discussing this. And then it wasn't much longer after that that I met Dr. Jordan Shallow. So I got a chance to be somebody very, very much so like Joe Rogan, where I had one or two, well, in my case, I had lots of experiences where I felt like a lot of these chiropractors were not that credible. But then I go and I meet a couple guys who have literally changed the way I lift and exercise as a 35-year-old fitness professional who's been doing this for years. So, and then I heard the episode with Joe Rogan, and I thought, man, what's so crazy is that's not like Joe. Joe is what I love about his show is he tends to take both sides really, really well, and he really went in on the chiro pretty hard right here, man. So I wanted to make sure we brought the boys down to kind of discuss it a little
bit. Well, one thing that they said was that chiropractors are not doctors. And what are they talking about when they say that?
Well, so I think they're not doctors. They are not MDs.
And there's a difference.
Yeah, no different than a DPT, which is a doctor of physical therapy, or a PhD, who is a doctor of, you know, whatever their discipline is.
Mm.
We are a doctor of chiropractic. That's what we're a doctor of.
Yeah.
Got it.
Just because you don't understand the designation doesn't mean we're any less or any more of anything. It's we have a level of education of the field of study at its highest level, which is like if you can't draw the difference between an MD, a DC, a DPT, an ACU, or an LAC, an acupuncturist, like you can throw a dead cat on the Almaden right here and hit someone with a doctorate degree in something. Everyone in the Silicon Valley is a doctor.
Okay.
But I think to your point, when you expressed that you felt this way about chiros for a long time, you kept that a personal thing. You didn't air that out.
Right.
Joe Rogan, by sheer numbers, is the most prolific interviewer of all time, period. He takes Diane Sawyer and bends her over his knee.
Mm-hmm.
He's this guy's a billion downloads a year through YouTube and podcasts.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
A lot of influence.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like to have that level of responsibility and to take someone with, you know, marginal credibility as a scientist, let's air quote that.
Chemist.
Chemist. Well, we're not doctors, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
We're not chemists.
But to give her the same platform as someone like Neil deGrasse Tyson, Lawrence Krauss, these extremely intelligent guys, and further that, like you said, he sees the other side, you know, flat earthers we talked about. He'll hear the other side of like conspiracy moon landings. But okay. So with both of those factors in mind, to come on and sort of hard and fast say, these guys are bullshit, they kill people, you know, this is all the scientists here. I have this random, uneducated person on the subject to tell us more with her confirmation bias and bullshit little article.
Well, let's dive into some of the things that she talks about, starting off with right away the origin.
The founder.
Well, let's start with the very first one, which is the 2.5-minute episode that Rogan and the guy from
the
England River talks about how the chiro killed the lady from L.A., you know, and does it happen? Sure, it can happen. But again, did the chiro do his due diligence? We don't know.
Yeah.
Right? So does it happen? Yeah. It's a VBI. You know, it's a vertebra-basilar insufficiency. So they go in there, they adjust the neck. Something bad happened. No different than you getting in a car every single day and running the risk of you getting in a car accident. You still do it every single day. So them coming in and people asked me when that happened, you know, oh, can you adjust my neck? I can, but I'm not adjusting for the subluxation.
No.
Right? I'm creating movement in here. Is there a risk? There's always a risk.
Well, explain that real quick, Brink. Explain what does that mean, what you just said? What is the difference between popping somebody's neck to adjust them versus what you just said?
So if you're going to go back to old school, right? Old school is, if we adjust the subluxation, which we can talk about in a little bit, you know, then we're getting things to move better, right? We're trying to get the nerve interference out of your body. It's sort of like the foot off the hose is sort of what they talked about, you know, in school. Modern day, you know, I think where I'm coming from, I don't know about Jordan as well, is I'm not creating more movement. Right, I just want things to move better. If our bodies at 70 and 80 years old don't move, we're going to be stuck. And if we're stuck, crap goes wrong. You know, so if we can move better, then everything is going to move better. As to what moves better, again, that's – I don't know.
I think we should – I mean, I don't know if now is like the time to get real deep into the anatomy here of like the adjustment. And so the foot on the hose, right, the nerve compression. And I think stroke should have its own point in this. But let's start with the S word, the subluxation thing. The conventional model is that, you know, the nerves, the spinal nerves that leave sort of the IVF, the holes in your bones in your back, to really simplify it, and that innervate everything in your body with, let's call it malalignment or sort of an aberrant positioning of adjacent vertebrae. The initial theory was, okay, that affects the nerves. ergo, those nerves are affected to whatever they innervate, whether it be, you know, somatosensory, visceral sensories, visceral motor. So, you know, motor output to the organs, sensory input from the appendages, all that could be affected. We know that to now not be the case. But, and this is one thing I wanted to, well, I want to look through the prism of her critical thinking and flip it back on Western medicine. So what, because we still adjust, even though we know that's not the case.
Sure.
But we can reappropriate that intervention and its efficacy. So a great example, let's go with, okay, 1928. I'm pretty sure it's 1928. Alexander Fleming took a useless or thought to be useless mold, right, that we now know to be penicillin. Changed the game. First antibiotic. So he had something we thought was useless, and we now designated a use for it. Fast forward to late 1980s. Sildenafil citrate. Anyone know what that is? Mm-mm. Good.
That's for this boner pill.
Oh, you're guilty.
Of course Sal knows.
So exactly. So they,
they made it for heart.
British researchers. Yeah, yeah. They made it for like blood pressure. So what did they do? They didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah. They said, oh, okay. You give you lemons, here's lemonade, right? So, but with the adjustment, we can do the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe if that's not the mechanism of correction, what I mean, and this is sort of a prevailing theory, is now you need to understand a pretty deep knowledge of anatomy, especially spinal musculature anatomy, because people go in with back pain.
Which I found really crazy from this girl, listening to her talk about her own mechanics and her own dysfunction that she currently has.
Yeah.
She seemed lost. And I'm going, how is she going to come over and harp on these chiropractors that have a level of understanding and knowledge of the anatomy way beyond what she has?
But I think the big thing that drove me nuts on that end was she sat there and she's throwing us under the bus, but at the same time says, I have a great DO. But most chiros don't shoot x-rays. Okay, I don't need to. I don't have an x-ray machine in my office. But I guarantee I know when a fracture is a fracture.
Yeah.
And if she goes in to get adjusted by her DO because he's better at adjusting than we are, and he adjusted a fractured rib, idiot.
Yeah, you
know? Right? It's like, you didn't do your homework then, did you? But yeah, go to your DO because he did you a service. And oh, shit, we found out that you had a fractured rib. Well, duh, really?
Yeah. I mean, if you go back to the subluxation model, if you look at the innermost musculature back, your deepest layer of muscles, they're innervated by a part of your spinal cord called like the dorsal root. So we basically have a ventral comes out the front. That's motor control. That's voluntary. The dorsal root, for the most part, is sensory control. That's sensory input. Mm-hmm. So we have motor output goes ventral. We do our thing. We feel what we're doing back through that dorsal column. But in that dorsal root lies the motor innervation to the nerve or to the muscles of our back. So, I mean, I would like her to name one erector spinae muscle.
She's a chemist.
Exactly. And apparently a shitty one at that if she runs a stupid blog. She's a keyboard warrior, right? Name one transversospinalis muscle that's innervated by this dorsal horn. So what we're doing, and this is the prevailing theory that I've been working with, is when we change the articulation between the two vertebrae, we're actually bringing those small muscles to an end range that otherwise couldn't be done internally. Right? Like you need to sort of like really, if you crack your own back, you need to like really relax and rapidly sort of shift. Well, with that, that's an active. You're using major muscles to pull those vertebrae away from each other, which could then cause over rotation, over lateral flexion, whatever. But just like when we stretch a bicep, we change the relative position of origin insertion. When you adjust, that's what you're doing. So those muscles are not that much different than any other muscle, as they have muscle spindles, they have GTOs, Golgi tendon organs. So when you're changing that relative position, then you're getting that muscle to relax. Because it's in spasm because it's an internal mechanism of protecting the spinal cord. It reads one vertebra's position relative to another. And if we get too flexed, laterally flexed and rotated away, oh shit, that's how we herniate a disc. Yeah. That's how we're going to get paralyzed or some sort of paresthesia or some sort of numbness, tingling, or weakness. That's when the muscle spasms up.
I see.
What I really
hate that proponents of, you know, Western medicine or the accepted Western medicine model is that they forget that Western medicine, when they start to come up with their critiques, those are the same critiques I could have for Western medicine. For example, they talk about subluxations and, you know, there's no proof that this is happening. And you're talking about how that was the old model and how the new model is kind of changing. Western medicine, go get an antidepressant. We don't know how they really work. Mm. We don't know how many of the medications that we take really work. Lithium, go take lithium. How is that working? They have no idea, yet they still prescribe it.
Yeah.
So I think with chiropractic and with other methods, look, stretching, we know that stretching improves range of motion. the way we explained it before was wrong.
No, I know. Yeah, we've changed
that. Yeah. It's exactly
we had to change
about.
The way we explained it because now we understand the way it actually works to a deeper level. That doesn't mean that stretching didn't work before and now it works. It's just the explanation has changed a little bit. And this is true for Western medicine up, down, and left from right. So when they use that same, you know, they use a litmus test for other methods that they don't apply to themselves.
Yeah.
That's what really pisses me off.
But you can also go back to what you're just saying is, let's go, or what she said is, massage therapists are all science-based. So, okay, really?
When I heard that.
What massage therapist have you been to that's very science-based? Yeah. You know, I know one. She works in my office. I do know that, you know. But at the same time, it's like, all right, what do a lot of massage therapists sit there and tell you after massage? Go drink a lot of water because you have a lot of toxins in your body. Yeah. The hell did you just release? Yeah. That's a case your body is so poisonous right now, you're in trouble. Go to the doctor, right? Yeah. Come on, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, like we use massaging as an example or foam rolling. Like the way we explain those things, we explain like you have your muscle is tight. There's an adhesion, a part of it that's, you know, we need to press on to release this adhesion. And now you've got, but now we know that that may not be the case, but what's happening a lot of times when you push on something is you release painkillers directly to that area. That may be happening with certain types of adjustments. Look, here's the other thing is they said that anecdote is not evidence, which is true. In science, anecdote is not evidence. However, thankfully, because of the internet, we can look at a lot of anecdote and it directs us in directions that, you know, Western medicine has yet to have explanations for. And in some of these cases, like she talks about how leaky gut syndrome was not a real thing or how certain food intolerances are not a real thing. I'll bet my house that in the next 10 to 15 years, we're going to have evidence. And maybe the way they're explaining it now may be wrong, but there's evidence that there's something there because we have millions and millions of people who have similar types of symptoms. And this is true for, I'll tell you what, I have my own personal experience. I was lifting weights. I think I was doing a dumbbell pullover. I felt a loud pop in my back, severe pain. This was in my thoracic area of my spine, near the right a little bit. And people listening right now can relate. Everybody has felt a pop in their back at some point with severe pain. Barely could breathe, barely could move. Went to a chiropractor friend of mine. He adjusted me immediately after that adjustment. About 85 to 90% of that pain was gone, and it didn't come back, and I got much better the next day. Had he not done that adjustment, that pain would have taken much longer to get there. And I felt it immediately after his adjustment. So, you know, you can't tell me that there's not something going on there.
Yeah, I mean, her fatwa seems to be against manual medicine as a whole. If you look at sort of her lineage of articles and stuff, she seems to be a skeptic and a cynic of manual medicine. It's like you cannot fix a mechanical problem with a chemical solution. And then to Rogan's point about like us killing people, Johns Hopkins released a study. I think it was 2015. Iatrogenic related deaths. So you go into the hospital with something, they F up, they do something
wrong. A lot.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was the third leading cause of death in the United States.
That's crazy.
Let's go back with the history.
Chiropractors don't kill nearly as many people.
That's my malpractice would be through the roof.
That's another point. Because he talked about insurance on the show. Yeah. It's like, me and
there's
this guy,
no way that they would accept it.
No. I mean, put our malpractice insurance against like an OB.
My dad's a dentist, and his is 10 times higher than mine.
Seriously?
He's a dentist. Yeah.
It's crazy.
But let's go back about like the history thing. How, I mean, we have we're in our infancy, right? And we're attempting to evolve just as medicine has since Hippocrates, right? But like flipping that prism of critical thinking and using her logic and exploring where medicine has gone wrong along the way, right? George Washington, your first president, you know how he died.
Your first president.
Yeah.
Sorry, Canadian.
Sorry, got to keep it. Got to keep it north
Canadian.
Of the 49th. Man. No, but so he woke up on December 2nd, 1799 with a sore throat. That afternoon, he bled to death by his physicians. Hypovolemia, that's how we die. Yeah. When you guys have a sure throat, do you think twice about going to your MDs?
No.
You don't worry about, all right, break out the leeches and scalpels. Yeah. We're going to gut this fucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, and I mean, move forward. And that's, you know, that's a long time ago.
The
that's,
irony of that story now is that they're using leeches now in actual medicine because of their anticoagulative effects. They're actually studying leeches.
We've come full circle.
Exactly.
Hey, you know, I know a president that could use a few. But fast forward. I mean, that was before the inception of chiropractic. So say, well, we've come a long way from there too. Sure. Late 1950s, West Germany, thalidomide, was the anti-emetic of the day. We've cured morning sickness. It's the latest and greatest medicine.
Kids born without arms.
Yeah, right? Straight up. 2,000 kids dead, 10,000 flipper kids in West Germany.
Yeah.
Okay, and then one of her arguments she made was she said, that's not how science works. Science works based on the newest evidence. Newest evidence of the day was that thalidomide is the shit. You guys aren't going to throw up. 9 months later, outcomes, kids with like three fingers and like a nose in the center of their forehead.
Yeah.
So by that logic, it's flawed on the face of it, right? Sigmund Freud, known cokehead, father of modern psychology.
Right.
You're going to go to your shrink and be worried that he's going to give you blow? Like, or maybe go to your shrink for him? I don't know. I don't know how you work. But it's like her logic when flipped on its head.
And this is because they were using, and we got to let our audience know who may not have listened to the episode, they are talking about the founder of chiropractic care.
D.D. Palmer.
Palmer. What's his first name?
D.D. Palmer.
D.D. Palmer.
Yep. Yeah, I'd love for you guys to go back into the history of him.
He was a magnetic healer, and he used seances to speak to spirits. And he had there was a lot of weird shit about him, but we're talking about, 1897.
It's like 1895, 97, somewhere right
there. And you know, he founded these schools. Are the schools anywhere near the same in terms of what they're teaching to what they were teaching back then?
Has it evolved at all?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's evolved 100 times, of course. For sure. It has to. Other than that, then, you know, your insurance companies, your basic, you know, we'd be thrown out with the psychics and all that type of, and there are those that still do that stuff.
Go over the hill.
You know? Yeah. You know, exactly. You know, and there's nothing wrong with it on that end. The problem is I think, you know, within our profession, there's really not the identity, you know, that like the medical profession has now, you know, created. Now, why is that? Because people want to be holistic and people want to be sort of the metapractors. And there's a huge difference between sort of both of those. But the philosophy is still the same. We want to try and heal without doing a lot of the medication. And the body knows what to do. We just have to put it in the right position in order to do it.
And that's the thing too, like what he just said, that we're all going after the same thing. So whether it be, you know, acupuncture or massage or chiropractic or doctor, let us handle this.
Mm-hmm.
What was she? But like an art school bachelor of science chemist, failed career as a forensic scientist, and now turned keyboard warrior. Let the adults handle this, please. You know what I mean? Like let the people who are actually trying to have a positive effect on the day-to-day, and whether it be anecdotally or be research-based or an amalgamation therein, regardless of the field that you practice, there is an art to medicine.
For sure.
Because you're dealing with people and people are in an exact science.
Right.
So we're not petri dishes in your chemistry lab, right? These are people with jobs and kids and mortgages and things you need to consider.
Well, there's in her whole episode, because they talk about chiropractors for like the first part, and then they start talking about other things. And some of the other stuff that she was talking about was they got into GMOs, for example, and they talk about how we've been modifying food forever, which is true. We have been modifying food forever, but we have not been taking a gene from a bacteria and inserting it into a vegetable, or taking a fish gene and putting it, like that didn't exist before, so that's completely new. And the glyphosates that we breed design these things to take is completely new. So I think a lot of her arguments is she's so general and making these false connections to try and back herself up. Now, to her defense and to even Joe's defense, I have seen a lot of chiropractors that say some dubious claims. Like,
I agree, 100%.
Like, ridiculous.
100%.
What's up with those guys? Like, I had a friend who was a chiropractor who told me that if you got adjusted properly, you didn't need vaccines. If you had the flu, I could adjust you and you would get well. He could correct mental illness with adjustments, and the way he defended it was that the central nervous system controlled everything. So once you made the central nervous system healthy, then everything would be healthy. Mm. Which, you know, I mean, we can make that connection to so many different things. I could say muscles move you, and
you can look at a lot of things. I mean, look at Wim Hof right now. You know, as to how he's trying to control his ANS through his breathing, and you know, being able to go into the cold and that type of therapy. I mean, you look at, you know, right now with Andrea Ospina, who is a chiro. Right, and how he's creating all this different movement-based approach, but getting your body to move better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's not an exact science anymore. It's full body, and what does that mean for every individual? When, you know, I could put 10 people in line and they'll have low back issues. It doesn't mean I'm going to give the same exact hamstring stretch for every single one of them. Mm-hmm. Every person is an individual. So as an individual, we have to now try and tailor our treatment to them. So I'm not going to sit there and tell them, I'm going to adjust your back and your back pain is going to go away. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I let their body sort of tell us, you know, as we take them through our proper exams, what they actually need and what they don't need.
I think to your point, like you asked why chiropractors deviate maybe further to the left already in a point on a spectrum further to the left of Western medicine. There's a few things, I think. I mean, they were indoctrinated in a time where that was more accepted.
Sure.
Right? So, I mean, if you grew up in Germany in like the early 1900s, you'd probably be a Nazi. Mm-hmm. Looking back on that, holy shit, and Germans since then, not Nazis, right? But that was what they were told. That's what they spent money on, and someone told them that. And that's where they're at now. So I think you'll see as the turnover rate of the profession progresses and hopefully is allowed to evolve, you know, unfettered by these stupid comments from someone who's not in the profession nor has a deep understanding of what we do on a day to day, you'll notice that what I see, and especially, I mean, knowing how you operate and the athletes you work with, the amalgamation, because she put physical therapy above us. Mm-hmm. The interconnectivity of our scope of practice now is almost negligible. I've had PTs reach out to me and ask, can you teach me to adjust? Not in their scope of practice, mind you, and they dress it up as a grade 5 mobilization. Sure. But I know PTs that are great adjusters.
Sure.
But they see value in what we are centered our craft around. Mm-hmm. So I think to the people who are indoctrinated with that, they'll slowly go the wayside.
So, and what you, to your, I mean, to back you up, I'm meeting more chiropractors, not a ton, but like you guys, like you two, I'm meeting more chiropractors who they have adjustments are, you know, the manual adjustments or whatever are a small tool in their toolbox.
Yep.
Now in the past, and not that long ago, I'm going to be honest with you guys, 15 years ago, you went to a chiropractor. That's all they did. Sure, yeah. They didn't do anything else. Now I'm meeting you guys and I'm hearing other chiropractors and they're corrective exercise specialists, even more so than, I mean, I consider myself pretty well versed in corrective exercise, and I don't hold a candle to some chiropractor like you two. You know, I see some of the correctional exercise move that you got. I've learned quite a bit from meeting with you guys and talking to you guys about correctional exercise. It seems to me like is it progressing that way, or is it just you guys are way out of the spectrum?
I think we are probably more of that, you know, 5 to 10%, you know, on the upper end of us doing that. But I think what I like about this whole topic right now is it's bringing light to what our profession is, you know, and in order for us to make change, right, there has to be change to be made, you know, and if we're just at a stalemate, you know, then no, something like this has to rock the boat. You know, and this rock in the boat right now is, it's getting us to talk about it, but it's bringing out, you know, the other people in the woods, you know, they're like,
because there's
been
shenanigans,
for
right?
Sure.
And you guys admit that there's been some
absolutely.
People
for
like,
sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
doing some
what Rogan
things.
Did was Rogan took, you know, she took an out of place person in a field and basically tantamount to saying, you know, all cops kill minorities. Cops are stupid. Mm. Cops kill people. Here's this blonde white lady to tell us more about an article she wrote. A confirmation bias she found on the internet. Yeah. You could do that. We could sit here right now, pull up our laptops and find case after case after case. If you saw an officer walking down the street right now, would you say, yo, fuck that guy? Yeah, that guy's a minority killer. No, because you know that, I mean, I don't know how many times I've had to defend myself, that listen, there is a spectrum in every profession. Yeah. If you saw a bad dentist, you'd go to another dentist. If you saw a bad MD, you'd go to another MD. If you saw a bad barber, fuck, you go get your hair cut somewhere else. You wouldn't stop cutting your hair forever and barbers are bullshit, right? But with this hard line against chiropractic, and maybe it's, you know, as an anti-movement of Western medicine, because we are able to use movement as a prescription to better, I mean, psychologically we can, you know, we were talking last episode about the benefits of exercise on depression and things like that, that we are can now sort of do a catch-all. We don't know how we're doing it yet, and we're in the infancy stages of being able to learn how exercise and corrective movement, but you need people at the forefront, and like Brink said it really well about assessment. The old assessment, you know what it used to be? Here, stand in front of this x-ray.
Yeah,
we're going to see what this superimposition of this black and white photo of you standing still looks like.
But that's even what MDs do right now.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to prescribe and say, let's do some imaging. Yeah. They will rarely ever put their hands on you.
Yeah.
So or have not going to put their hand. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let me watch you really move and let's see. Oh, your shoulder hurts. Well, okay. You have a shoulder problem. Let's go do some imaging.
Yeah.
You know, for what? Oh, there's nothing on there. Well, I don't know.
What a great point. Really? I don't know how many times I have seen like an MD and before knee or shoulder pain, and it, right away it's x-ray, then pills or something like that, versus let's see you move it. And then from there, you know, I want to talk so we can actually give people some tangible things to help them with choosing a chiropractor and knowing what's bullshit and what's not. When I said when we first started this that
I had a bad taste in my mouth for many years for chiropractors because this was my experience. I would go, and I was always open-minded. I always, you know, I'd always be willing to go, you know, listen and have someone explain to me and adjust me or whatever and explain their knowledge behind what they're trying to do. What I found was this, and this is why I think people, the people that love chiropractors, they can feel the difference. If you've ever been adjusted and you've got some sort of aches, pains, something that you're dealing with, and you've been adjusted and you walk out and you're like, fuck, I feel a lot better. Something's happening. Something's working. But then what ends up happening, they go about their day, a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, they feel like shit again. So they come back to their chiropractor, he readjusts them again. And then it becomes this vicious cycle. And I found that a lot of these chiropractors, and I don't know if it's a lack of knowledge or because they're trying to be smart business-wise, because it's in their best interest to have you keep coming back and getting readjusted every single week. And the biggest thing that I remember with the very first time that I met Brink, and the first thing he says to me, and we're in his office and we're talking and I'm letting him know like all the issues that I have. And I'm like, you know, what do you think it is? And he says, okay, well, let's come out here. And we walk past his adjustment table and he takes me out into his little grassy field area inside his office. And he says, take your shoes off. And he goes, let me see you walk. Let me see you. And he wants to watch the way I move. And I've actually never been adjusted by him. So all the times we've hung out, all the times we've visited, he's never adjusted me. It's always been about movement and teaching me how to intrinsically get connected to parts of my body that I've lost connection to. And I think that right away is, I think for people, that's when you know a red flag should go up, is if your chiro, all he does is adjust you and then see you next week.
Prescribe supplements.
Or prescribe supplements versus talking about the things that you should be doing outside. Because I think you both would agree that even the best adjustment done to you without exercise and putting the work in outside there, you're going to always keep coming back. Am I right?
That's their business model, you know, and that's, again, you're selling ice to Eskimo. Right. And that's why you keep going back in over and over and over again, because you do feel better. But yet now the crutch becomes, oh, I have to go in and see my chiro because I'm out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, where the hell did they go?
Yeah, exactly. I hate that.
What do you mean you're out? You know, what's move? Oh, well, I slipped the disc. Oh. Where'd it slip to? where did that thing go?
You walked in here.
Yeah, you did not slip the disc. No. It's like, you want to know what it is? Let me show you my 20 millimeter disc extrusion that I had at L5S1. That's a disc that now slipped out, you know?
But I think the hard part is the indoctrination of the Western medicine model with patients that are in our office. I mean, in the Bay Area, we're lucky because people are more in tune with stuff like that, and they'll seek chiropractic care as a primary form of entrance. But for decades, for hundreds of years, however long it's been going on for, the Western medicine is, here, take this intervention, take this home with you, take it once a day. So I mean, when I say I prescribe movement, I literally prescribe movement. Because, and I will explain to people, like, this is tantamount to me giving you 800 milligrams of ibuprofen. You'll take it today and you'll feel good. Fine. We've done some work. I've put you through some correctives. But you're not just going to, shit, you got to run antibiotics for 12 days. I'm supposed to be some silver bullet? Come on. You got to meet me halfway here. And like, to your point about the business model, it's a dichotomous business model on the face of it.
Yeah.
The better we are and the more people we get better quickly and with our assessment can prescribe effective, not just exercises, but dosages of exercises, reps, sets, accumulated volume over a week, progressions. This isn't work, let's move to this. This isn't working, let's regress down to that. How am I supposed to make money, right? Yeah. If you're better, and usually the better chiropractors are the ones maybe with a little bit more openings in their schedule because they don't have that reliance. It's the difference between giving a man a fish and teaching a man to fish, right? Because the biggest thing I would look for, like you said, the adjustment part, is a license. Our license is a license to adjust, but more importantly, it's a license to not adjust. Knowing when. That's why we get the doctor title. When you come in and something's weird, like that VBI case, the stroke thing, there are ways to screen with that, with history, with like analysis, sensory analysis, spinal nerve, do a full test. There are times where you should not do that.
Can we talk about this Yvette's condition too? Because I feel like she didn't even know anything about her own fucking condition. Can we school her?
Ehlers-Danlos. Yeah. Well, it's funny. The irony there is that would be a contraindication to upper cervical adjusting, right?
Explain what you just said right there. Sure, I think that's important. So it's quite ironic to me that
somebody like herself is talking all this shit about Kairos, and then
she really wouldn't. Yeah. So you want to take the reins?
Go ahead.
Okay. So Ehlers-Danlos is a collagen vascular disorder that I mean, it, just that it affects collagen, but more so the collagen that makes
up. But the Dio adjusted
vessels.
Her rib.
Sure, that was broken.
Yeah, that was
but
broken.
He's a goddamn genius. That's right. We're not doctors. So collagen vascular disorder. It was seen most recently. The most prevalent case that I know, or the most famous case, is there's a kid going into the draft in the NBA a couple of years ago. Do you remember reading about that?
Yeah.
So, you know, tall kid, had a lot of talent as a player, was going to make it into the NBA. I forget the team. I think it might have been the Knicks. We're looking into him. They said, okay, you know what? We'll do. Once you pass your physical, you're good. Draft's next day. Life is set. You're cruisy, man. You're going to get entry level, whatever that is, 400 something grand. You're fucking set for life. Gets the medical back. Sorry, you have Ehlers-Danlos. You can't play. So Ehlers-Danlos, as it affects the collagen vascular makeup of blood vessels of like the arteries and veins, the biggest effect it'll have for an athlete like that is on the aortic arch, where the blood rapidly is leaving the heart, getting circumvented throughout the body. That pressure over time of that blood squeezing out of the heart through that archway is going to slowly erode. So under enough exertion, high enough blood pressure, people have died. Exactly. Rupture aortic arch, which is interesting. And I think now would be a good time to talk about the VBI, so that when Rogan initially stated that chiropractors kill people, he cited this case of the poor girl
down in
LA, the model in Los Angeles, who went in with neck pain to a chiropractor.
But she had fallen, from what I had heard, you know, on set, and like fell off some stairs and had like whiplash.
Yeah.
So, okay, so she already is coming into the office with a potential problem.
Yeah.
You know.
So let's, I mean, so the VBI, so the vertebral basilar artery is what we're talking about. And now it has this funny route through your vertebral column of your cervical spine, makes two hard turns to get up into the brain.
Yep.
Right? Now, at those hard turns, just like the aortic arch with Ehlers-Danlos, with people who may have an undiagnosed collagen vascular disorder, it's more prevalent with females on birth control because that damages the vascular or the collagen makeup of that. Slowly over time, what can happen is that at each one of those tributaries of that artery, it's going to erode more and more away that bank of the turn. Now, what happens with a lot of cases, whether it be a fall or not, when blood gets places it's not supposed to be in the body, it's an irritant, right? That's what a bruise is, right? Now imagine blood being not where it's supposed to be in your suboccipital region of your head, of your neck. Yeah, that's going to give you a headache. You're going to go with neck pain. So they did the Cassidy study is the one they drill home in school because this is a topic we have to cover on a next to day-to-day basis. So basically what it looked at, people who are going to chiropractors with neck pain that have these strokes, this incidence of VBI or VBA, whatever you want to call it, are having the stroke. The embolus is formed. The water has breached the banks of the river's edge as it turns. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're going in with pain. Most people for their primary entrance with neck pain would be a chiropractor. So they're coming in with these brutal headache-like symptoms. I mean, have you had one in your office that you sent out?
No.
I know of a few people that have come across them, sent them immediately out for an MRA, magnetic resonance angiogram, right?
Yep.
And then they screen them, boom, day saved. Does that guy get a piece on Entertainment Weekly?
Gold star.
Yeah, right?
No, you'll kill someone.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
you saved my life. No, you killed me.
Yeah, exactly. But that guy in LA is going to get all the press. So the thing with that is the mechanisms are, the stroke is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the backswing at the golf course, backing out of your driveway, a cervical adjustment, especially in the upper regions, is a lot of rotational. It's rotational based, just the way, whether it be the condyles of C1 on the occiput or the condyles of the occiput on C1 or C1 and C2, that articulation is meant to rotate. The ability of our spine to rotate increases all the way up to C1, C2. So the mechanism of injury therein is now you have these two almost hairpin turns of these riverbanks that are already flowing their borders. And now someone comes in thinking that, you know, 10 times out of 10 on a normal day when they adjust the neck like this and it's just suboccipital tension of the rectus capitis posterior minor, the oblique muscles, the suboccipital extensors, silver bullet, good. But this time,
And the bad thing with that is She could have been driving in her car and someone honked behind her and she could have quickly turned left or right. She could have stroked out right there as well. Yeah. That's the hard part. We just don't know.
I think people are thinking like when they're watching like a movie like Commando and Arnold, you know, sneaks up behind someone and like twists their neck, the kill shot. Boom, you're dead.
Yeah, that's a finisher.
You would have to really look. I did jiu-jitsu for 6 years and people were cranking on my fucking neck hard all the time. Like nobody, people I'm sure have died wrestling and doing that stuff. I've been to chiropractors. They don't crank my neck nearly as hard as the guys I'm wrestling with. So. You know, I think one of the problems with Western medicine is one of its strengths. One of the strengths is we get very specialized. Like you go and become an osteopath or you go and, you know, you learn, you know, the heart or the brain. Like you get in deep, you get in extremely deep and learn lots of detail about your particular subject. And you don't learn much about the others at all.
No.
I mean, you go to an MD, a doctor who's been to school for many, many, many years, they've taken one semester of nutrition. I know more nutrition than I've trained. I used to have my wellness studio was next to a Good Samaritan hospital. Fully 70% of my clients were surgeons and doctors. And they came to me and asked me questions about nutrition, movement, exercise, kinesiology, because that was not their specialty. But that becomes a problem with medicine where you know, people learn their one area and then they start to denounce other areas. Mm-hmm. Or they go to a doctor with a problem. If I go to an osteopath with knee pain, I can guarantee you right now the likelihood that I'm going to need surgery based on their opinion is much higher than if I go to one of you guys or a physical therapist or someone whose expertise is in movement. So, you know, those are the things we have to look at. And I think medicine is going in this direction. It's not even close to there yet, but it's going in this direction where it's time to look at the whole fucking picture. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago that Western medicine made fun of meditation. Meditation was made fun of 20 years ago. Like, you were crazy. It was woo-woo. It was bullshit. It didn't work. And now we have science, you know, supporting meditation very, very strongly for things like anxiety, depression, and paranoia.
But let's go back to a little, I think the beginning on that end is you're looking at Western medicine, right? You look at our healthcare system. It's not a healthcare system. It's a sick care system. Mm. We rehab pain. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what the medical system does, is they rehab pain. No different than someone coming to us over and over and getting an adjustment.
Yeah.
They go back to their MD for pills because they have low back pain. Right. Now, all of a sudden, they have to go see a pain management specialist. Now, we're doing PRP injections. Now, we're doing stem cell injections. Okay. And I get it asked all the time, should I get it done? Sure, if you're going to move differently once you get it done.
Yeah.
Because the problem was is you sucked at moving to begin with. Yeah. You're still going to suck afterwards. Why is that going to fix you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because I injected some new shit into your body doesn't mean all of a sudden, bam, you're good to go. Right? So that's what I hate when people come into the office is I'm not here to rehab your pain. I'm here to rehab you. Mm-hmm. What is dysfunctional about your body? That's what's going to breed a problem, not the pain. The pain is there. The pain is the first thing to show up or last thing to show up, first thing to go away. You know, so when that goes away, it doesn't mean that you're fixed. No. But that's what we think. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go crush 100 miles on a run right now because I don't have knee pain anymore. Bullshit. Your knee is still there. You don't have shitty knees because you have shitty knees, right? Yeah. You got a problem that's causing shitty knees. It wasn't the run, you know? And I think that's what a lot of people, you know, start to look at is, oh, I have pain and my pain's gone. Great. You still suck at movement, though.
Now, to the defense of actual adjustments, and here's my belief on adjustments, and maybe you guys can, I'm sure you guys will correct me if I'm wrong, but when you, anytime you pop a joint or you manipulate your body, if you do it a certain way, you may feel some immediate pain relief. And there's a few theories as to why. One of them is, you know, there's pain receptors, nociceptors, I think they're called. And when you cause certain movements, they'll signal the body and the body releases painkillers. And this may be why when you go get an adjustment, you get immediate pain relief, or why when you get a massage, you get immediate pain relief. Or, you know, now, can that benefit you in the long term? Yes. And the way I think it could benefit you is if your pain was severely preventing you from moving in a way that's beneficial, then getting rid of that pain will help the process. So, Correct. Hey, I can't bend over. My back is fucked. You adjust me. Now I can move enough to do the exercises that correct the problem.
I mean, you want to talk evidence-based medicine. And this really made me laugh about this Cy Babe person on Rogan's show. Evidence-based medicine begins and ends as far as like impact factor, quality of research, strongest correlation, diet and exercise. period, hands down. There is not an intervention of any sort of subset of medicine, psychology, psychiatry, cardiothoracic surgery, anything that has a higher correlation to positive outcomes in diet and exercise. Mm-hmm. Hands down, bar none.
And what is every MD sending their patient to go? Go see the PT.
Yeah.
Check your diet. Mm-hmm. Every single time. Yeah. Right? That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
After them. Here, I might feed you some pills, but go see your PT also.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, you better lose some weight. Okay.
And I think that too, a common misconception is, we talked about the spinal injection, is that going to make you move different? I have no problem with people come in and ask about cortisone injections for their knee. Or their
love them and hate them.
Exactly. Exactly. If they can bring you to a point where we can put you in these unstable positions to stabilize and strengthen where we need. Yeah, absolutely.
But most people, they get the cortisone, their pain goes away. They never see us again, or the PT, or the massage, or whoever they're seeing.
Until they get the cortisone.
Until they get it again. And then realize it didn't stick this much. Yeah. You know, it was 6 months before. Now it's 6 days. Why? Because you still suck at the way you moved.
Yeah.
And that nothing changed.
Is just breaking down.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at it is, if I have knee pain because I'm moving poorly, and you inject me with cortisone, which is a very, very potent, acute local anti-inflammatory. So now all the pain is gone from my knee, or substantially gone. Now I can move badly like I did before, and I could just do it even worse and not feel pain. And now I'm going to have problems with my knee. Or cortisone shot, pain is gone. Now, Dr. Brink or Shallow, show me how to move properly, and I can do it now because my knee doesn't hurt, and I'm correcting the root of the problem.
Yep.
Now, how do you guys, is that how you guys use adjustments then? Do you use adjustments to help people to be able to do the exercises, or how should they be used, I guess would be a better question.
I look at where the joint is restricted. So they may come in with a low back issue. Most people's low backs are because the low back loves to give. Usually the hips are what are restricted on that end, mid-back on the other end. So if I'm going to adjust something, I'm going to mobilize the hip, I'm going to mobilize the mid-back. I will rarely ever touch someone's low back because most people's low backs are so jacked to begin with, I don't need to keep creating rotation into their back. Leave it alone. But the other chiro, they adjust me all the time. My pain went away. Yeah, and why are you here?
Yeah. I mean, low back design is meant to be stable.
Yeah.
Hips and upper back meant to be mobile. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, addressing – and it's different by case to case, but I do the same. The adjustment is an adjunct. It is not the center to what we do. And when we do it better than people who have now seen the value of it because we've been trained to do it. Now we just need to sort of pick and choose where that adjustment should occur. But I mean, it's all movement based. Frankly, when you're laying down face up, face down on my table, that's great.
Yep.
I very rarely do people feel pain in that position. Let's put a bar in. It hurts when I squat.
Yep.
Guess what?
Yeah.
We got 38 squat racks outside the door. Let's roll.
Let's
hurts when
out.
I deadlift.
Yep.
All right, because I mean, we could send someone away with the corrective exercise and all that, but there's a difference between corrective exercise and exercising correctly.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, I mean, as you guys know, as a history of training, that people are like, oh, you're familiar with deadlift? Oh, yeah, I deadlifted all the time. Knock knees, dog taking a shit upper back, just total nightmare. It's like, okay, I mean, we could align the tires, but if you're still going to go smash that thing into the curb every week, we're going to have to keep doing this. So jumping to the actual cause, which
And we've got Prime Pro that's coming out.
Yeah.
Right?
The upsell.
That's exactly what we did right there, is we are teaching you to move better, right, to exercise correctly. Right? Not correct exercise, but we want you to exercise correctly. Mm. We want to make sure that every joint in your body is actually doing what it should be doing. The muscle is going to follow what the joint does, right? If your joint is restricted, the muscle is not going to follow you. You know, it's going to say, crap, I'm perceiving a threat here because the joint itself isn't doing its job. So if I perceive threat, what's the threat going to do? It's going to protect it. It's going to protect by naturally becoming tighter. So over time, what have you done? You've just made yourself tighter and tighter and tighter, but go ahead and go foam roll all you want.
Yeah.
You never fix the joint itself.
And this is why I think in my practice, when I had my facility, I worked very closely with a chiropractor, physical therapist, massage therapist, and myself. And we would all, we'd all work together and our success rate went through the roof.
Sure.
The other thing too is, and I want to really... really quickly, I want to strike down the myth that creating a model that requires your patients to see you over and over again is not a successful business model. Now, intuitively, we think it is, right? Like, oh, they're going to need... It would be like me being a personal trainer saying, I can't get them too lean because once they get lean, they're going to need me more. I got to keep them kind of fat. Mm. It doesn't fucking work.
No.
The reality is, if you want to be an effective practitioner of whatever you're doing, fucking solve the problem or figure out or connect to people who can solve the problem.
Since you're going
to
draw that parallel, I feel like it's necessary we talk about that because that's the same issue that we see in our field. Is, and that is exactly how most trainers teach it, is you come, you hire me, you're 30 pounds overweight, and I'm going to restrict your calories, hammer the fuck out of your body, and try and get you as much results as I possibly can over the course of 6 to 8 weeks. And then what happens? You can't maintain that. You can't keep that up, so you fall out of shape. You come back and you hire me 6 months later when you're getting ready for a Hawaii trip or Las Vegas trip or getting ready for a wedding, and it's this vicious cycle versus actually addressing the root cause, which is what we talk about all the time on the show, addressing your relationship with food, addressing your relationship with exercise and yourself and your own body image and understanding that before you even go that direction. It's very similar.
And that in itself is true healthcare.
Yeah. Right.
That is not what our medical system is based upon. Mm. Our medical system is based upon sick care. Mm. Right.
I mean, my motivation from a business standpoint is to get you as better as possible so you can go F yourself up again so you can get back in my
office. I tell them that all the time. Yeah. I'm like, my job is to get you out of here as fast as you can because I know at some point you will hurt yourself again and I'll see you again. Because what we did is we fixed you right the first time. Yeah. But I know you as an athlete, you're still going to go out there and you're going to push the envelope. And I'm okay with that. I've done it myself. Both ACLs torn, back surgery. I've done it and I still do it. And I'm going to sit there and say, and I'll preach to them, I'm going to do exactly what you do. Anything that I give you, I do myself. So I will make sure that, hey, I'm walking the walk, you know, but I want to go after true health care.
Yeah. Right.
And I think to Brink's point about health care versus sick care, what I like what you guys do, I think even we are too upper echelon with health care. We should not, we're primary entrance for a lot of people here. That's the doctor title allows us to people walking off the street into the office. All right, what's going on? I think what you guys are doing too, I mean, I think more of your audience is the personal training crowd. When I was a trainer, and I still train to this day because take my best tools away from me, take my hands away from me, and I can still get results. Yeah. I train hour-long sessions with clients, maybe 20 hours a week. Because that's healthcare. So if we can get trainers on board to not do this calorie restricted bullshit, set them up for a fail so they have to come back for the wedding or the Hawaii trip, but get them on board with the assessment. That's why I put out the media that I put out. Because I think the ability to assess at that entry level, at a training level, give them the autonomy to take care of themselves. Then if there's something they can't handle, me and Brink are here.
But I think that's a lot of the insecurities that, you know, in our profession or as a personal trainer, right? I may lose this person. Yeah, so I'm going to keep them right here so they have to keep coming back and rely on me. Like, I don't care about that. Go and leave, because if I can fix you in 2 and 3 or 4 or 5 visits, whatever it might be, depending on their issue, and you are 100% as to what you can do, you're going to refer 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 people in to see me.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Look, I had clients. I mean, my average clients, they owned me for 10 years. I mean, that's way above what the average personal trainer can expect with, you know, in terms of clients staying with them. And I that was my approach. My approach was, I'm going to solve this problem. I'm going to really help them in a true way. And your business ends up growing. I think there is a bit of a misconception. And yes, the Western medicine model is sick care. I don't necessarily think it's this massive conspiracy to, you know, to take our money and keep us sick. I just think that the nature of the beast tends to direct us in that
sure.
direction.
That's
for example, if I'm a pharmaceutical company and I want to come out with a medication for cancer, I want to come out with a cancer drug. I know the FDA process is going to cost me about $1 billion. $1 billion. So at the least, it's going to be in the hundreds of million dollars to get this process approved and tests done. And it's like a 10-year process. Now, am I going to invest in this potentially new avenue of treatment that may be a cure? Like, ooh, look at cannabinoids may cure cancer. Let's invest $500 million in this to see if it actually works. Or I can take my money and make a type of chemo that I know chemo is going to do something. I'm going to tweak it a little bit and change it a little bit. And I know it's going to get approved and I know I'm going to get some money out of it. And that it's just the nature of the beast, where if I go to the doctor and let's say this MD is excellent. Let's say this MD understands nutrition, understands exercise just on a whole new level. The likelihood that the average person going to a doctor with a heart problem or, you know, blood lipid levels that are all over the place, the likelihood that that person is going to take the advice of the doctor who says, listen, we need to completely change your lifestyle versus here's a pill, take this every day and you're fine. It's much, much lower. So part of the problem is us. I really think part of the problem is us. Nobody wants to go to a doctor and hear that the answer to their problem is change their fucking life.
Yeah. But that's them coddling them.
Yeah.
Right? And that's our system, is to coddle you to what do you want, not what do you need.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the art of healthcare, regardless of being – it's because say that MD that knows the value of all this – but and preaches that to everyone. All right, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna you have cancer. We're gonna go keto. The best research says when you're going into chemo, we'll get you into ketosis and all that. And goes for that complete overhaul. So I mean, we have I'm sure a lexicon of corrective exercises, but we need to realize who's in front of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give me a high end athlete, someone you know whose job to feeding their wife and kids relies on it. NFL guys, UFC guys, whoever. If I give them 10 of the best researched and, in my experience, the best for their condition, 10 out of 10, they're going to do it. You bring me the CEO from the Silicon Valley startup.
I don't have time.
Exactly. So I got to pick and choose from that list because I know these 10 out of 10 would do it. This would fix his imbalance, fix his instability, move better, feel better. This guy works 22-hour days. He's on calls to China. He's on planes to Japan every other week. What can I fit into this guy's life? So it's taking that here, have a pill, go. Mm-hmm. And taking that blood lipid panel, here's we're going to overhaul your life, and meeting it somewhere in the middle. And I think that's an art form that, honestly, I think that, call it alternative medicine, chiropractors, PTs, acupuncturists, massage therapists, is a model that they adopt better than MDs. Mm-hmm. Because you need to understand the person, not the symptom.
Well, and it comes back to, and I'm sure you get it all the time, is, you know, what exercise is best for me? I say, the one you're going to do.
Right. No, it's I mean, true.
Did you guys become best friends? You know,
but the pain thing is just like I got to do chiropractic. Sorry, sweetheart. Yeah.
No, I think you know there's a few flaws with the Western way and the scientific method way of proving things, and one of the flaws is that they'll say things like you know, there's no evidence. Well, what they consider evidence is rigorous scientific, and which is fine. By the way, I think if you're going to have evidence, that's one of the best methods, is to use the scientific method, the double-blind, placebo-controlled, trial, control, you know, all that stuff, peer-reviewed research. I think that's some of the best. However, can it be influenced and skewed by special interests? Yes, we have strong evidence of that. There was tons of fucking evidence showing that cigarettes were not addictive during the time when you know we were trying to come out against them. And there's many, many other examples. Is it slow? Fuck yeah, it's a very slow process. And I know this because I have personal experience. I have a family member with Crohn's disease, very, very bad Crohn's disease. His mother is a nutritionist. She's a licensed nutritionist. Now, her understanding of nutrition was from that that model. And so she approached it from that model, and nothing was fucking working. Right now, your treatment for Crohn's when you go to the doctor is high doses of steroids. And if it's really bad, then they actually give you a form of chemotherapy to really shut down your immune system to reduce this autoimmune effect that it can be debilitating and sometimes fatal in people. So this licensed nutritionist aunt of mine went online, and she looked at all the forums. And luckily, technology now allows us to do this. And she read all these forums with all these Crohn's sufferers, and she got advice that was not scientifically backed yet. One of the things that she learned from these people was there was something called a carbohydrate-specific diet that tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people with Crohn's were using to great success. So she applied it to her son and reversed his Crohn's disease. Now, is there scientific evidence that the carbohydrate-specific diet works on Crohn's disease? Not yet. But you can look and see anecdote, and when there's a lot enough anecdote, a lot of times that points you in the right direction. So I really fucking hate it when I hear the science crowd denounce all anecdote or denounce anything that doesn't have, you know, potential hard scientific evidence.
They're going to end up eating crow later on anyways. That's what
many times they do.
Like we talked about interpreting research, which makes me laugh about this Cy Babe character, because it's like, show me one peer-reviewed publication, not JAMA, a Journal of American Medical Association, not New England Journal of Medicine, nothing. Her biggest publication to date is on a shit-stirring website that no longer exists because they got sued by Hulk Hogan and Peter Thiel. Swear to God. That Gawker article that she went after, I swear to God, the Gawker article that she went after the food babe.
Yeah. Food babe.
The
yeah.
food babe, right? Yep. Was her claim to fame. And if you'll read that on her Wikipedia page, which reads like a poorly yeah. written Tinder ad. Yeah. It's awful. She clearly wrote that. But her main publication is on Gawker. You're not a scientist. Yeah. Show me one fucking published peer-reviewed journal article. That's bullshit.
By her own criteria.
Well, yeah. So, I'm glad we went back this direction to
I was
going to
say, and bring up, you know, vaccinations with her, you know, if we're talking about science and all that type of stuff. You know, I mean, that's a crazy part right there. It's like she's saying that we are adjusting babies and then we're telling them don't get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Both my kids are vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. No problems. But there are others that do have problems. But yet we still feed our kids every single day with food. That really sucks. Mm. So is the food worse? Is the vaccination worse? Because the government now is sitting there saying, well, I don't know. We're going to sit there and now we're going to put our hand into it. But they haven't put their hand into the food market yet.
Yeah. Well, because the food market's hand is in their wallet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, when she says stuff like, we need the FDA to cover this. We need more regulation. I cringe very, very strongly because do I believe regulations have done some good? Yes. Are they infallible? Fuck no. They have done some horrible, horrible decisions. They've made some horrible recommendations. I mean, there were you know how many medications every year that were approved through the lengthy FDA process that then get retracted and like, oh, sorry, let's take these off the market because we're finding now they cost
grew another ear.
Well, yeah. Some of those heartburn medications now that are over the counter, like, oh, it looks like it 25% increase in all cars mortality yeah. and dementia.
Well, listen to every commercial that's out there at the very end. Yeah. They have a litany of what might go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And oftentimes,
may die. I want to take that.
One of the things that's listed is usually the very thing it's starting to
do. Sure.
Treat. And I mean, you can speak on this about not even just interventions, pharmacology interventions, but surgery.
Sure.
God, how many spinal surgeries are founded on nothing?
Exactly.
And it's like, but we got to clean up the mess.
But you got to clean up the mess. And again, going back into sort of the pain and the rehab part of things, and I see it all the time, people are like, oh, well, I hear back surgery sucks. Well, if it was that bad, they wouldn't be doing it anymore. Yeah. They'd be shut down. The problem is that it's not that the back surgery sucked because a surgeon did do his job. It's what you didn't do afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
They don't
and like so,
hear that.
Yeah. And they don't want to hear that. Yeah. But the surgeon didn't do that. No, they did. They fixed your crappy back, you know? You just didn't fix the rest of your crappy movement pattern that you'd already had prior to that.
That caused the crappy.
Yeah, they fix structure. It's on you to fix function.
I want to address something too because there was a part in Joe's episode that he seemed confused. I totally understood why. I think you guys can articulate it even better than me. Is why she was told not to do yoga. He seemed so baffled by that advice. It's quite obvious to me why she wouldn't be doing that considering her condition. Can you explain that, why that she was told that, and why that actually was probably good advice that she shouldn't be doing something like yoga?
Well, I think that would double back to the Ehlers-Danlos condition, right? So here you have something that can weaken, you know, the integrity of the inner lining of your blood vessels. And now that is not specific. I mean, granted, there are a lot of different collagen types in your body, but it's not just specific to the inner lumen of the blood vessel. So she is prone, as I find most.
So she's probably lax. She's got really lax joints.
Yeah, to put a fine point on it, that would be exactly the reason why.
So they're going to go out there and stretch something beyond what it needs to be stretched in whatever capacity that it might be, even though it could be gentle yoga, but it's putting her into a compromised position, which they don't know what that end result might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, stability is a fine balance between
mobility,
flexibility,
and
mobility, and strength.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time.
Well, it's the ability to resist movement, not generate force. Right?
But having all of this range of motion with no strength is useless range of motion.
Right.
That's why her shoulder dislocated all the time, and she had to get surgery.
Yeah. Well, that's the inverted bell curve of hypermobility and immobility, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a linear progression. People shouldn't strive to be as mobile as her.
Yeah.
They should strive to be in the center of that curve. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be, you know, the contortionist, and you also don't want to be the fat powerlifter that can't put his shoes on. You want to be somewhere right in the middle.
People don't realize, you know, how many yoga instructors I used to train with hip problems?
Oh, for sure. Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Because the hips are they always stretch the hips and open them up, and they'd come see me with hip problems. And we would strengthen their hips with like squats and lunges, and boom, hip pain was gone.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with their lack of flexibility. I mean, they were incredibly flexible.
That's most of my dancers that I treat, right? Is that, again, they have amazing, you know, ranges of motion. They just can't control that range of motion at end ranges. Mm-hmm. So once they get there, all of a sudden they're hanging on their ligaments and crap's going to go wrong.
Mm. And if I'm not mistaken, because you guys are having Spina here
Next February.
That's a big part of the FRC from what I can gather is that end range control, which I think is huge.
Get into the end range, connect to the muscle, contract, so you've got that, you've got some stability there. Back, you know, back to the whole, you know, regulatory aspect, and that we need more and more and more regulations for our safety. Economists talk about a lot of times the unseen. And I'll give you an example. Let's use FDA regulations for medications that we use all the time. We talk about how we need these strict regulations and process with the FDA, which now costs, like I said, up to $1 billion just to approve a drug. What we don't see are all the potential drugs that never get approved, that never get passed, all of the chances and opportunities that we don't take because of the cost of this regulation. And many economists actually equate that to more deaths than the ones we actually get with the drugs that we approve that then turn out to be bad. I mean, think about it. Think about all the potential treatments that never even get explored because the potential cost of just trying to get them approved is so high that they don't even look in those directions. And so we end up developing treatments on top of treatments, which are based on the same faulty models, and we don't look in other directions. There's medications that are amazing that are approved in other countries that can't afford to be approved in this country because of our process. So more and more and more regulation isn't the fucking answer. And in fact, I would say less regulation is the answer, especially considering now that technology is where it's at. There's a device that are being tested at the moment that actually uses I don't know exactly how it works, but it fires out a laser. The way it refracts, it comes back to the computer in this particular device, and it tells you everything that's in that food based on that. Your proteins, fats, carbohydrates, chemicals, everything. When those become readily available, why are we having any other kinds of regulations?
Right. Because you need to not substitute regulation with technology, but rather with education, right? Because we have these tools now that can measure these advanced biometrics that used to take, you know, weeks and weeks and blood tests and send out to labs and all this stuff, and bam, and instantaneously it's on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do with that information, right? And that's that I think is a huge problem, is the education side.
Yes.
And you talked about... Yeah. Go ahead, Jess.
No, I didn't say.
Well, I mean, I just think you talked about like the perpetual cycle that we're in. There's a great book called Honest Medicine by Norton Hadler. So he's an MD, and he goes over a basic physical exam and the components of a physical exam, and examines the research of what we think to be ironclad medicine. Looks into, you know, should you take aspirin for primary prevention of a stroke or something like that. And he goes into these things that are so just set in our ways because we've evolved to this point in Western medicine. And it actually puts a really fine light on it and goes, listen, like, we're still trying to figure this out.
Right.
Like, we don't have a good hold on this. Like, and that's the thing, where that light of just trying to figure it out gets put on us. Because we're... Go ahead.
Yeah. Saying that goes back to that education component of it, right? If that client walks through the door, our job is to educate them as to what they're going to do when they walk outside our door again. They are smarter than they walked in, right? So they know what to do in order to make themselves better. That's not to come back and see me if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what the definition of doctor is by Latin based? It's teacher.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right? So that, like, what he just hit the nail on the head, and that's exactly what any doctor should do, whether that be a doctor of chiropractic, an MD, or otherwise. It's now, the education.
And if the business gets in front of that, right, that's when I have to keep seeing that person over and over and over again, which then goes back into why our profession then is saying, oh, I need to see you 3 times a week for 300 years.
Mm.
You know, it's like, no. My job is not to do that. My job is to educate you. But then that also goes back, and I think, in our educational process, which is a business. And the business is to keep having people come through the doors, which then goes back into, okay, is there a weed out process? Because now we can go down this rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a weed out process for MDs and PTs and that type of stuff. You know, as a chiro school, not so much. You know, and that's one of my biggest pet peeves. There is no weed out process. There needs to be one.
Yeah.
You want to regulate who comes and who doesn't, and to weed out the bottom feeders from the top feeders.
Now, you're referring to because they mentioned this, that everybody who applies to a chiropractor school gets accepted.
Yeah. And not everyone. I mean, there's a small baseline that you have to have.
I think our real gatekeeper, if you will, is the national board exam.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing.
So you go through the education, but that doesn't mean you're.
Yeah you exactly. Pass the schools are designed to pass you through the national board to educate you what you need to know. And I think there is a big onus on the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. And I just recently wrote, just a couple of years ago, my final of my four national board exams to get my license. And there's studying for the test, and then there's stuff that I use in practice, and there's a dissonance there. And I totally agree that the board is lagging on what is forced as gatekeeping knowledge to set people out into the world with.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because I respect the hell out of you guys for your movement knowledge. I said this earlier in the episode, and your correctional exercise knowledge in general. How much of that did you learn in chiropractic school, and how much of that did you learn on your own?
Yeah. So if you come into my office, you'll see my diploma that's on there from Palmer, right, is what got me to the means. But you'll look at all the other, I don't know, however many freaking letters you want to put after my name, if that was the case, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at right now, right? And that's been sort of post-school, you know, knowledge. And that's me taking stuff from training, from PTs, from other chiros, from – you know, whatever it might be, and trying to figure out, okay, how does this all mix into how I do stuff?
That's a great question. I would love to ask both of you, because I do too. I hold you guys both in this very high regard. And what would you guys both say of all the different certifications and bits of knowledge and people, what do you think has been one of the biggest game changers for you, or maybe even a paradigm shattering moment for you in your career that was like, man, when I took that certification, or when that really came together for me? Do you guys have?
Train yourself.
Yeah.
Train yourself. Chiropractic school can lead you to a point to ask better questions and interpret more abstract answers, and not just, it gives you an internal logical consistency of how the body works. And I think the most I've learned from, and I'm sure you've taken much more certifications than I have, because I'm more or less new to all this, but I find physically putting myself through, we spoke on this before, I have patients that sumo deadlift, and it's like, well, okay, I know how the hip mechanics work, I know how the low back works, I can see as a power lifter the advantage of doing that, but I can't feel, I've never done that, I'm a conventional deadlifter in competition, so what do? I do a training block of sumo deadlift. Now, I get it, that kinematic awareness, that proprioceptive awareness, tapping into that movement pattern, understanding what they're feeling, and then being able to use my knowledge base from school, my understanding of the anatomy of biomechanics. That to me, and again, I'm new to this, has been the biggest game, we'll call it game changer for me.
So would you say that that's a problem with chiropractic today, is that people will graduate, pass the exam, boom, now I'm a chiropractor, I'm going to work on people, and they don't further their learning and education?
Yeah, and back 10 years ago when I graduated, you know, I mean, a statistic was in 5 years, 50% of your class will not be practicing anymore. So, and I see that, you know, and I think the reason for that is A, there is no weed out process, right? So, but you also have the complete bookworm that has no idea how to hold a conversation, right? In our profession, we have to be able to talk to someone because we're sitting there having a conversation. They have to lay down on the table. We have to put our hands on them. Right. You know, whereas, again, you look at an MD, they don't care. Right. They have an influx of people coming in no matter what. We have to go out and essentially sell ourselves, if you will. You know, and as we're doing that, you know, how do you do that? Mm. And they don't teach you that in school. So now all of a sudden you get out, you get weeded out. Well, then how is that any different than the person that's next door to you? And we freak out because, you know, oh, you're right next to another chiropractor. Yeah. So what? I've got, you know, three that are two doors down from me. But I promise you, those and what I do are night and day different.
Yeah. Mm. Which is the problem.
Yeah. You know, so going back into, you know, like myself, is what did I learn? You know, I mean, my 10 years has evolved completely, but that's also evolved because A, I've injured myself. So I went to PTs and I did my own. So I learned, you know, and then as I kept learning, I'm always evolving into what's the next thing? You know, so for me over the past 2 years has been like, you know, more like animal flow, FRC, kin stretch, you know, going back to how does my body actually work and how do I feel my body work? You know, the biggest thing is how can I feel it work, you know, versus not just doing the motion because so-and-so said do this movement. How do I feel? Mm. Do I actually feel my body doing what they say it should be doing, or can I not connect to that area?
Now, to your guys' defense, this is true for any profession.
Yeah, I was just
for sure.
You can get the most regulated, like, you know, knee surgeon or, you know, whatever.
Four out of five dentists think that fifth dentist is an asshole. Like, come on. Like, are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, it's true for any. I think the important thing that I've always applied to myself and I've always tried to preach to people is to question things. Always question things. Like they talk about vaccines in that episode as if vaccines are like it's 100% awesome. Everybody gets every vaccine. And it's like, look, all vaccines are not the same.
Yeah.
They just fucking aren't. By nature, they're not all the same. This one has a particular, you know, virus in it, and this one has something else. And what they put in them and the amount that we give people now is far, far more. When I was a kid, you know, they give us like two at one time. Now you go to the doctor and your kid's
500.
He's getting a shit ton of them. And part of the process of the body developing immunity is this immune stimulation of the immune system, which can cause inflammation. It can cause a fever. I know my kids get a fever after they get a vaccine. It's totally normal. Well, could there potentially be a fucking difference between giving a kid 10 in one day and giving them one, or between different vaccines? Of course there is. There can be.
Well, there was a guy who like was like touted as the guy who brought vaccines into Western medicine. His son wrote a book flying in the face of his father and about a limited vaccine schedule. So here you have not only internal dissension within the medical community, you have internal dissension within a family of people that brought immunization to the forefront. And then someone like his son stepped back and went, oh, no, this is too much. Mm. I mean, and don't get me wrong. Like we mentioned in the last podcast, like we kicked polio's ass. And I think there is a shared responsibility of herd immunity. Like if you have something like measles, you need to keep that herd immunity above like 85%. Something like polio, you need to keep that up. Because if that drops too low, then you have pandemic.
And I think that's their fear, I think. And it's starting to shoot them in the foot. I mean, there's specific organization, there's a government organizations that exist specifically to defend vaccine companies in case of lawsuit and to keep it quiet, mainly because, you know, it's very hard to educate people. It's very easy to scare the shit out of people.
Sure.
Like you said, one chiropractor who's a shitty one kills some lady because she's got some disorder because he adjusted her neck. Well, now fucking people are scared of getting adjustments. If I write an article tomorrow and I get the statistics on how many children get strangled by their seatbelts, I guarantee you a lot of parents aren't going to put seatbelts on their kids because they read that. It's very easy to scare people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's kind of, you know, part of the problem. And I think here's my problem is force. Like, don't fucking force anybody to do anything. And I understand herd immunity. I get that. That's hard science. But the second I hear the government, the same government that, you know, interned Japanese people and segregated blacks and, you know, gave syphilis to black prisoners, you know, not that long ago, is the same government that's going to tell me you have to fucking do this? I don't think so. Let me question it, and then I'll make my own decision. And
that holds true for everything, though.
Right.
Right. You should always be questioning. And I get that question from, you know, the forum all the time. Hey, I'm seeing this chiro. I'm seeing this chiro. I'm seeing this chiro. You know, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know. What do you think? Yeah. If you think at all, you have a question, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You have the choice. Yeah. I mean, you have the choice to sit there and say, do I think that this person is legit or not? And if you have to question that, there's your answer.
And that questioning should permeate every level of medicine that you go to.
Yes.
Yeah. Just because a surgeon says you need surgery, it does not mean you need surgery.
And Rogan even talked about it. Yeah. He's like, I went to some dude in Hollywood that, you know, was $140. Okay, if you thought that was too expensive or you weren't getting your money's worth, why'd you keep going?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, go somewhere else. You've got a big enough name that I guarantee every person out there would take you.
Yeah.
You know?
$140, dude. Come on, man.
And all he's doing is popping and praying. I'm like, geez. Yeah.
Well, I would like a debate or a discussion with this young lady with some chiropractors that are legit. And have
I would
a nice
love
discussion.
To have her come and see me.
Yeah, I was to say, we'll host
for
it.
For sure.
Yeah. We'll host it.
Maybe, I'd love to
maybe
have
maybe between
it.
Joe's, maybe this gets to Joe and maybe with his connections with her, we can organize it. I'd fly her out here.
Yeah, she's just down in SoCal.
Yeah, not far. Drive. Yeah, no, shit, I'll fly her out here. I mean, we'd pay for her to come in here to host that. But, you know, to be honest with you, listening to her talk to Joe and then when he actually even started, it took about an hour or so into the episode before you start to hear him start to kind of challenge her thinking on stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, she was all over the board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just like, I can't believe he even had this girl on the show. I can't believe he's allowing her to slam a whole population of people and put them all in one box just because her thoughts on this, dude. Like, this is ridiculous.
But if that's one person's thought, there's a million others that have the same thought.
Right.
Right.
Well, and now there's more.
Yes, and now there's more, which is great because, again, for us, maybe this is a way that helps progress our profession. You know, this is a way to help push us, you know, be like, okay, all these bottom feeders right now that are feeding on the bottom that are, you know, doing all the crappy stuff. Hopefully that is something that will start to change because of that. And again, change is going to has to happen in the educational system first, mm-hmm. because the people that are already out there, they're still going to do what they're going to do because mm-hmm. they've already built that business model.
Well, this was an important factor that played. And when we actually even aligned ourselves with you guys, I mean, all three of us have got, between all three of us, I don't know how many, probably hundreds of chiropractors that we've either worked with, done stuff with, and never have we ever brought somebody in here and said, listen, we're going to attach ourselves with these guys because we believe what they're doing is incredible and is good work, and there needs to be more people like you guys. So, you know, I hope that this platform is one that we can get people like you guys out there to more people, because there is. And I was someone like Joe Rogan, so I get it. I understand how you could have a bad taste in your mouth, because it wasn't one, it wasn't two, it was quite a few for me that I went through that I was like, fuck man, these guys, how can these guys not help me in an area that I feel like they're supposed to be more educated than I am? And I just kept running into that. And if it wasn't for me meeting Brink first, I probably wouldn't have been open-minded enough to even listen to another chiropractor.
I mean, like, it's the same goes with a medical doctor as well. I mean, I had a bad experience where, you know, just coming in, they're basing everything off of BMI still, and they're sending me stuff to get to this obesity clinic. And they didn't even look at me and realize I lifted weights. And, they're still touting this. Same shit, yeah. So, you know, like, you need to really be critical and think for yourself going into, you know, getting help and do your education. And so I think it's important that people like you are out there and, like, you're trying to teach people, like, look, like, if you're coming in with these issues, like, here's the steps you're going to take, and you have to do the work yourself.
Dude, I had a very close family member who had cancer.
And I'm not obese.
And I'll never forget.
On the record.
On the record. Just to put it out there.
He's obese-ish.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right.
Not according to your BMI.
Fluffy.
I had a very close family member with cancer, and I went with her to her oncology appointments, and I asked nutrition questions, and his answer was...
They don't know.
His answer, no, it wasn't even, I don't know. I would have loved that. I don't know.
They don't know.
He literally said, no, nutrition has no effect. It's not going to, don't change your eating, eat whatever you crave. It's not going to have any effect on what we're doing. You know, dermatologists will say this.
I've got that with my psoriasis. When I go, I've been seeing a dermatologist for fucking, I don't know how many years now. I've had psoriasis. And I've been asking them every single time. I'll bring all kinds of new research to them, saying, I just read this. What do you think about that? Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. And just give the shots, take the pills, take the creams. It's like constantly that.
Walk the walk.
Yeah. It's like, dude, it's how can you tell me that nutrition plays no role in my skin? That doesn't make sense to me. How does that make sense to you guys, and how are you guys preaching that? So it's everywhere. It's not
but
just.
But every chiro is. Clearly teaching the alkaline diet.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys don't teach that?
Yeah.
You guys don't teach that?
I got lemon water in my office all the time.
I didn't know what that was until I had to look it up. I was like, am I a real chiropractor?
You're not in the know.
Yeah, apparently not.
Teach him alkaline, give him lemons.
I think the other part of the problem is just that, you have these people, usually the answer is somewhere in the middle, right? And you've got people way over here, where everything is, Western medicine. Then you've got chiropractors who tend to go way over here where they're anti-Western medicine, and everything that's not Western medicine has value. And it's those people, those outliers that really don't make up a majority, but they can make a decent chunk who give everybody
the most noise.
They make the most noise, and they give people a bad name. Again, like we're talking about doctors. Like, there's some great fucking amazing doctors.
I worked with a ton of them.
Exactly.
A ton of neuros and sports orthos and pain management specialists. And that's the lovely thing about that is they send them back to see me, right? Because they know what we're doing.
Well, listen, I know that you guys have plenty of people you need to go kill today, so I don't want to.
I gotta go rack and crack.
Time to go rack and crack babies. Huh?
Yeah. I know you guys have some lives you need to go ruin, so I want to make sure that I let you. I appreciate you guys coming in the studio today. I'm sure we'll do follow ups to this. If you guys, real quick, best place to find both you, Jordan, all your best places to get a hold of you.
TheMuscleDoc.com is a website. You can email me, Jordan@TheMuscleDoc.com. Instagram, the_muscle_doc. You can find me on Twitter, same thing.
Excellent. How about you, Brent?
Yeah, Premier Spine and Sport. That's my office. That's, you know, the IG and Facebook and all that type of stuff as well.
Premier Spine and Sport.
Yeah, Premier Spine and Sport.
We're going to do a free webinar, actually, with Dr. Brink, where we go through Prime Pro and break it down for you for free. So we're going to show you assessments and we'll show you some exercises on how to correct some of the problems that you might find with your body when you do these assessments. The place to register for this free webinar is mapsprimepro.com. Also, you can check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Media, and we all have personal pages. Mine is Mind Pump Sal, Justin is Mind Pump Justin, Adam is Mind Pump Adam, and Doug, the producer, is Mind Pump Doug.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.